all the ministers of the board. I just thank and praise God for this opportunity. But I want to tell you something. This is about me and God. I don't care how many people are out there. It's about my obedience to Him and what He is taking me through to grow to this moment. So I just thank and praise God. He just happened to be sitting there. So I just thank Him. I know it's a kickoff. It's Friday. But it's a vision that He gave pastor and co-pastor. And I remember in September, we said, this is a new year, new beginning. And He's blessed every Sunday since because of obedience. This is something new and different. And because I'm number one, everybody has to follow me. But I'm humbled by the fact and ask the Lord to bless in such a mighty way. And I had a week that has been rough, but it prepared me for this message. And it has prepared me for life, and I thank God. My scripture is coming from Acts chapter 20, verses 21 through 24. I don't know if it's a new glass or bad light, but I'm okay. Acts chapter 20, verses 21 through 24. Okay. Testifying both to the Jews and also to the Greeks, repentance toward God and faith toward our Lord Jesus Christ. And now, behold, I go bound in the Spirit unto Jerusalem, not knowing the things that shall befall me, save that the Holy Ghost witnesseth in every city, saying that bonds and afflictions abide me. But none of these things move me, neither count I my life dear unto myself, so I might finish my course with joy and ministry, which I have received of the Lord Jesus, to testify the gospel of the grace of God. My title, Living Without Any Regret. Father God, please take me out of self. Slow me down, Lord. I ask your anointing on the word, but most of all, to let this word go forth and bless. Let this word go forth and minister. Let this word go forth and let them know that Jesus is the answer, no matter what it may be. There may be some in here that are already saved, Father God. But let's give us a new anointing, Father God, a new vision, a new hope. We thank you, Father God. We ask you just to go ahead and let this word do what it needs to do. In Jesus' mighty name, amen, amen, amen. Living without any regret. Okay. Paul found his life by losing it. Lived his life by not counting it dear. Learned from his Savior to love God's will over everything else. He realized that obeying him yielded the greatest joy. Paul being in the right place was more important than his own comfort. His main goal was to complete the task God had given him and to testify to the gospel of God's grace. My first point, shoulda, woulda, coulda. Second point, why are you living? Third point, make sure you desire are in harmony with God. Have your children dropped in to talk to you and you're watching your favorite show, Jeopardy? How often has someone invited you to go to lunch and you've come up with an excuse? I'm doing laundry. My hair's a mess. You should have called me yesterday. I just ate breakfast. It looks like rain. It's Monday. What happens when that person dies and a few years later you say, we never did do lunch? Some of us schedule our own headaches, make promises to ourselves to do things when all conditions are perfect. I'll visit my grandparents when the baby's potty trained. That's five babies later. Entertain when I get a new carpet. Take a second honeymoon when we put two more kids through college. If life has a way of accelerating as we get older and our list of promises to ourselves get larger, I'll wake up one morning and all we have left to show is a life of litanies of, I'm going to, I plan on, someday when things settle down a bit. Become a seize-the-moment person. Be open to adventure. Available for trips. Keep an open mind on new ideas. Stop, get off the elevator and go for a bungee jump. Go on and have a nice day. Do something you want to do, not something on your should-do list. If you were dying soon and only had one phone call, you can make, who would you call? What would you say? When you ask someone, how are you? Do you really hear the reply? Most of the time we're moving. Are we really listening to it? It's just something we say casually. Do we take the time to hear what they're saying to us? When the day is done, do you go to bed with the next 100 chores on your mind, running through your mind? I'm guilty. What am I going to do tomorrow? We haven't relaxed at all. When you worry and hurry through your day, it is like an unopened gift. You haven't settled down. You haven't unwrapped that day. Thrown away, life not a race. Life over. God puts your name in the DVD player. He inserts the disc with your name on it. What might have been? Details of everything he wanted to accomplish in you, to bless you financially, but you were afraid to sow the seed into his kingdom and be generous with others. Kept it in your pocket. When he gives you a seed, you're supposed to share it. Plant that seed and let it grow. I noticed every time I plant a seed, it grows. When you get stuff, you're supposed to throw that little 10% away. And every time, I'm a witness to that. He wants you to use your gifts, but you lack discipline to develop them and the courage to use them. Oh, God, it's going to be too hard to do this gift. If I do this, I won't be able to do that. But if he has a gift, he's going to keep pushing that gift. He's going to keep staring at that gift. And I think about 20 years ago, he just started me going out and doing, and I said, God, you really want me to do this? Am I being too prideful? And I would not have done it until someone said, you have to say he's called you to do something. And I think because we're comfortable in it and we enjoy doing it, we don't realize that's the anointing he's given us. And it's just a natural part of us. How he gave you a great relationship, but you weren't truthful enough and loving enough to maintain them. He sent people to us in our lives. And because they were truthful, we said, oh, I can't be bothered with them. We weren't ready at the time. And when you think and you look back, you said, God, that may have been the one you sent to me. But at that time, I wasn't mature enough. And I think about when you started the church here and I left and family was upset. But it was about Janice. Janice was so judgmental. This wasn't right. That wasn't right. I had to grow to the point where I had to examine Janice and see what is wrong with Janice. And then he took me to another level in the ministry. And I realized, God, it was about me being so judgmental and looking at people. What am I doing? I had no right to do that, to question you and your people. So sometimes we have to step away and come back to where he took us. But be mature enough to say, I'm coming home. I'm coming back. So when he tells you, you know. And you know when it is his will, because everything falls in place and there's just such a peace. Casey, okay. Excuse me. Long to reproducing the character of Christ, but you refuse to deal with your sin. Resist temptation and pursue spiritual growth. As long as you are still breathing, you can close the gap between what is and what can be. You have to be still and listen to him. He will tell you what you need to do. And what I did recently, I decided I was going to fill in the scripture to fit what I wanted. And I went through so much in 3 months. I was stressed out. I said, Lord, forgive me. I repent because I was wrong. No, I was using the word for what I wanted. It was not his will. And people said, Janice, what's wrong with you? That's not you. I said, I'm talking about stuff I don't actually talk about. And I had to sit still and say, God, forgive me because I used your word in the wrong way. I used it for what I thought it was supposed to be. And during the past year, I've gone through a lot, but it was about me, not about the individual or the situation. And I thank God it's back where it used to be with the individual because I saw God was purging me. It wasn't about what people said to me. It was about me doing his will. And I did a Jonah number. I ran away from it. I had my own fish, and I was sinking. And it finally dawned on me. I've never felt like this before. I said, God, you have taught me a powerful lesson. And I said, God, I am just so sorry because you gave me a word and I didn't do it. And I had an attitude. Why they call so late? I really had one, but I wouldn't admit it. And when I finally admitted to him, peace came again to me. And I realized, you know, and as a minister, there's so much that I have to sit back and see people the way God wants me to see them. It's not about my judgment. I have to judge me first. So how am I living? What am I doing? And I noticed the other message I did was the first time, how am I living? And this time I said, live without regret. Because there's so many moments that he gives us. And the flesh will rise in us. And for those few seconds, we are doing something that is wrong. So I say to myself, Jesus, step back. Because thank God his thoughts are not our thoughts. His ways are not our ways. I said, I'm looking in the flesh. And we can't have the mind. We don't know what God is going to be. I know he's an awesome God. I've learned to wake up every day. And you know, when you have cancer, I always plan ahead. Because I said, I know, Lord, you have a mighty work for me. And I always say, they say cancer can reoccur. I thank and praise God that it hasn't reoccurred because of healing scriptures. And it usually comes back somewhere else in your body. So every day I said, Lord, I wake up with joy this morning, knowing what you've taken me through. And when it's an anointing on your life, he gives the whole boldness just to talk to somebody and say anything. I say, Lord, where did that come from? So I've learned to step out to people I don't know. So this week I went through something, and I was talking to someone, and she said, Janice, you have a strong faith. I said, Lord, thank you, because that is what I want people to see, the strong faith that I have in you no matter what I'm going through. And Lord is just blessing. He'll bless your seed if you're doing the right thing, and you know that's him working it out. Why are you living? Jesus knew why he lived. John 18:37. For this reason I was born, and for this I came into the world, to testify to the truth. That's all he thought about, prayed about, planned for, worked toward, sacrificed for, died and rose again for, and finally accomplished. And later I'm going to say, all I ever do is think about Jesus. You wonder sometimes, are you crazy? That's all on your mind? So if it's your anointing, that's all you think about doing. You pray for, you want for, so you know that you're calling. What is your destiny? What are you doing to achieve it? If you are called to do something, you will get stirred up in the presence of someone operating in the same anointing. Now we have worship women. No, I'm not saying, when Sister Pamela starts talking about the Lord, you feel it. It's, no, Dennis coined that on Wednesday. But no, you can see your ministry. You walk it. You feel it. So if it's in you, that's it. When someone, their ministry is singing, you can tell when they sing. And sometimes I said, Lord, I'm always running my mouth about you. People, I say, shut up. I just can't be quiet no matter where I am. That's my ministry. And you see other, and hospitality. The hospitality committee, that's their ministry. Because they do it on care, and you don't get tired of it. You love it. So if you don't love something, that is not your ministry, that is not your calling. If you're doing to be up front, you are in trouble because you are going to get tired right away. But you can tell by the way someone walks and talks. If it's your ministry, you love it, nobody's going to keep you from doing it. Okay. For example, if you have anointing, like I said, worship and spiritual, you will just probably just do it anyway. Nobody has to pay you. Nobody has to coach you. And Sister Norma has such a ministry in secretaryship, you know, and there's just anointing on it. Not because she's my sister, but you can see that God touched her with that. And she does things voluntarily, but it's her ministry. And nobody else could do it better. They can. But if it's your ministry, you're going to give God the best. Proverbs 16:9. A man's heart plans his way, but the Lord orders his steps. I mixed it up a little bit there, but that's okay. Plan well, but stay open to God's direction. When you're not doing what you know God truly called you to do, the love of people and material things won't satisfy you. You won't be comfortable with the money, with the fame. There'll be something missing. Because you don't have the money, the people will not be around. You're all by yourself. Who can you call on but Jesus? Wow. All are ordained. People are not in the pulpit. You may be ordained to be a secretary, landscaper, or teacher. Find out why God has called you so, and do it. Sometimes God allows hard times to cause us to realize our lives and see God as never before. Our emphasis should change from, Lord, here's what I want, to, Lord, what do you want? Then he blesses because he is a rewarder of them who diligently seek him. When God says represent him, he means sacrifice your personal agenda. Give of your time and money. Go out on a limb for people you don't even know or don't like. That's the test. You pray for your enemies in the midst of it, and that's our test because it's easy to love someone who's good to you. But it's difficult in the midst of the storm. You have to stand up with that holy boldness and tell them, no wonder, what's wrong with her? But that is our test. Seeing others through God's eyes, that's the most important thing. Wow. He took me from a bunch of mess and blessed me. So why wouldn't he give somebody else an opportunity? Who are we to question God's authority and what he has done? In trying to live without regret, be doers of the word and not only hearers of the word. What you truly behave determines how you act, what you truly feel, and manifests itself in your daily routine. You can't fake it every day. It becomes phony and difficult to hold up to. John Mason says, make yourself valuable to somebody today. Tackle a problem bigger than yourself. Get to know God by reading his word. Do three things to take you out of your comfort zone. Giving thanks to God daily spread. Leaving others a little better than you found them. Encourage them. Don't discourage them. It might just be that word that someone needs. You may see a stranger and God will say, speak to that person. And he'll give you that word. And all of a sudden, it'll light up. Remember the testimony that Mary had, that she had gone early to the doctor. She was there for a reason. And a lot of times, we've been taken from dangerous scene and unseen. Because you're supposed to be a certain place a certain time. And you just say, thank you, Jesus. And you know it's nobody but the Lord. Never stop being afraid of changes. He's there to help us. Doing today what you want, not putting off until tomorrow. The time and place to be happy is here and now. Take small steps to conquer a bad habit. It didn't happen yesterday. It took time to develop that bad habit. It's going to take time. And you just say, Jesus will take you. He will not take you through. He will make you an overcomer. If you pray the word, pray the scriptures, because it will be defeated. Evaluate your actions. Don't see what happens, the result. Think about the consequences. And about sowing your seed. Be careful where you sow your seed. Sometimes you're sowing seed into things that are a disaster. And one thing I learned, we have to let our family and friends know that we are not their God. We are not their answer. We have to give tough love. And that's when God is testing us, because it's not about you. We must teach them how to pray, show them how to pray, but most of all, give them that word. And write it down, because you'll forget. But if something is written, you go back and you refer to it. And that's part of what we have to do. Beware of burnout. I've been there. The burning bush burned but didn't burn out. There's something different about it. Some folks who once were so active in the church and were gung-ho have burned out. Loyal workers suddenly vanish. God's seed is slowed down. If any of you lack wisdom, he should ask God, who gives generously without fault. God is an expert consultant. Consult him. James 1:5. And sometimes we're so busy doing everything that we're not doing one thing. And you have to be still and say, Lord, what is it you really want me to do? What is it you sent me to do? You don't have to be to church 5 days a week. Then you drag home, you're mad at your family. You're like, oh, leave me alone, I get up and go to that church. So that's burnout. And when you realize, you can say, Lord, I need a rest. And sometimes he'll give us a rest by putting us in the hospital. By just slowing us down, because we don't have sense enough to do it. And sometimes we're not using good judgment. Are we giving him our best in the situation? Or are we just being here and there, so, oh, Minister Voice is here and she was there. But are you really there? Have you ever sat in church and your mind is somewhere else? But you said the body was there, but the mind was somewhere else. I'm guilty. I'm talking about me. Realign yourself with your priorities. Too many irons in the fire means more are given inadequate. You're not giving your best. Learn to say no to your family, to your friends. They will appreciate it because then you're not doing it from your heart because you have to. Okay. Let your body and mind relax. Take a walk, exercise. Yes, Janet. Find someone you trust to talk to. And just do all these things. That's what you won't have any regrets. Hear the music before the song is over. Listen to the song. Listen to the words. Life may not be the party we hope for, but while we're here, we might as well dance. We might as well enjoy it. Make sure your desires are in harmony with God. Start renewing your mind every day with God's word instead of filling it with junk. We're talking about renovating your mind. When you renovate, you're going to take something out, put something new in. You ever notice if you have a song, you'll hum that song all day long? So why not start your morning out with a good scripture? Read that scripture all day long, and it will take you through. Use your talent and your treasures to build the kingdom instead of your own kingdom, build God's kingdom. The more seed you sow, the more seed God will give you. And how about taking time to disciple somebody in your home, on your job? Discipling just could be the way you walk, the way you live. People are watching us. Discipling sometimes, I praise the Lord for these little children that are coming forward and how they encourage one another. They go home and tell somebody, come on to church, I'm having such a good time. And on Sunday when all those little children are across here, God has given us a mighty task. We're pointing to these spirits and the love they have for one another. We can learn from them. The joy of the children. They will bring their parents. God has put such anointing on this church because we're listening to what he said in spite of what may be going on the outside. John 9:14. All of us must quietly carry out the task assigned to us, for there's little time left before the night falls and all work can come to an end. Philippians 3:14, I press toward the mark of the high calling of God. So I ask you today, living without regret, have you committed yourself truly to God? It's between you and him. It doesn't matter what we look like to the outside world, but what is our commitment? Because, you know, he died on the cross, was resurrected, so we have salvation. And our task is to go out and let people know about Jesus. Let them see the peace we have in the midst of the storm. And also let them know that we're going through storms. And my help coming from the Lord. I am humbled by the fact that the Lord allows me to stand here. And I always get nervous. Lord, I am not worthy of this. I thank pastor and co-pastor for allowing me this opportunity. But I thank most of that God is the author and finisher of my faith. I think about how he's ordered my steps all my life and gave me the opportunity to come accept him and salvation being free. So I ask you, are you living without regret?